You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I don't know about you guys, but I love superheroes. And, you know, like most of us do, I guess, you know, especially growing up, you kind of, especially as a boy growing up, you gravitate to superheroes because they're just awesome, you know. And when I was growing up, my favorite superhero above every other superhero was not Iron Man. My favorite superhero was Superman. I'm a huge Superman fan, so when I heard that Pastor Gabriel was going to be preaching his sermon on Man of Steel, I was really mad at him because that's what I wanted to preach. I'm just playing. No, but for real, as I got older, like I said, I love Superman, and but here recently, the Iron Man movies have started coming out back a few years ago, and it started this new craze of everybody knowing Iron Man and who Iron Man is, and Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, you know, and they were talking to him about playing Iron Man again in Avengers 2 that's coming out next year, and there was some stuff going back and forth about was he going to play Iron Man, was he not, and the guys that did the Avengers movies said Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. And so we get to the point where we know him because of the movies, and we know Iron Man because of the movies. And I love who Iron Man is. Now, we can debate all day long about whether Iron Man is actually a superhero or not. See, we already hear it. No, no. He didn't get bit by a radioactive spider. He's not from a distant planet and gets, you know, strength from our yellow sun. He's not anything like that. He's kind of like Bruce Wayne. He is a billionaire that has some really cool toys and is really smart. And he has an awesome suit of armor. And so, you know, that's kind of like what Bruce Wayne is to Batman and Tony Stark is to Iron Man. But at the end of the day, I love Iron Man because he is just that. He's a regular guy. You know, I mean, take the suit off, and there's not very much to him. I mean, other than being a smart guy, we know that. He's a billionaire. He's smart. We're not all billionaires, and God knows we're not all smart. But we're not going to point fingers there. But anyway, but at the end of the day, physically, he is just a normal dude, right? He's just like you and me. He has nothing exceptional about him. I mean, I'm sure he's trained or whatever, but he is no more special in his physical body than any of us are, right? Correct? We're all on the same page here? So there's a lot that we can learn from who Iron Man is. You know, we're all called to be a hero. Maybe not, you know, saving the world and protecting freedom from terrorists and all that stuff. You know, we just passed July 4th, our Independence Day, and let me just say thank you to every member of our armed forces that do defend our freedom against terrorist attacks and spend their lives away from their family. But you know what? Not all of us are called to be that kind of hero. But let me tell you something right now. We are all called by God to be a hero. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read in verse 10, starting there, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. It says this, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be able to stand firm." Let's pray. God, bless this sermon today. God, bless this word that's going to be shared. Bless the reading of your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, it's very obvious to me when I read this chapter, this little passage of Scripture, that God is telling us some stuff. Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and he says, you know, God tells you to put on your armor. Well, if you weren't called to fight, God wouldn't tell you to put on armor. We don't tell civilians to walk around with armor on. If you're not going into a battle, you have no need for it. So therefore, we can pull out of this chapter, out of this passage here, that we are all called to fight. If you are a Christian, if you are called by God, which all of us are, if we have dedicated our heart to Him, then at the end of the day, we have been called to fight. John 16, 33, Jesus said Himself that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, God gives us knowledge that we're going to have trouble. He doesn't promise us that when we come to Him and we give our lives to Him, that our whole life is going to be lollipops and rainbows. Our whole world is not going to be easy peasy. We're not going to be sitting on a beach watching the waves roll in. We're going to fight. And some of you may say that don't know Jesus Christ here this morning, you may say, well, that doesn't sound like a very enticing reason for me to give my heart to Christ, because I'm already in a fight. Let me tell you something. This life is going to be a fight either way. You're going to be in a fight whether you follow Jesus Christ or whether you don't. But let me tell you something. When you follow Jesus Christ, you've got somebody guiding your every step. It's like standing beside a 5-star general that tells you what to do. It's like standing in the middle of a battalion of Marines that are fighting with you. So I would much rather take on all the struggles and all the battles of life with Jesus Christ beside me and with my brothers and sisters in Christ around me than by myself alone. Amen? So we're all called to fight. And the thing is that we have to remember, and it's like this with every superhero, there's a great backstory, right? Like every superhero has this amazing backstory, this struggle that they go through to get to where they want to be in life. You know, Superman, his planet was blowing up, so he gets sent down to Earth before his family can die. And Batman, his parents die and they're murdered, and he becomes the Batman. And Iron Man, Tony Stark, is kind of the same way. His parents die in a plane crash, and he's left this kid, and he figures out that he has this just amazingly smart intellect, and he goes to MIT at like 13 years old, and he starts figuring out weapons developments and all this stuff, and he comes to a point that he realizes he gets captured. And if you've seen the first Iron Man movie, you know what I'm talking about. He's developed these amazing weapons that he's selling to the U.S. military, these huge rockets and all this stuff, to these implements of war, and he gets captured, and that's how Iron Man is born, because he has to figure out how to get out of this place that he's being held by the enemy with only the scrap metal and little old pieces of electrical equipment that are around him. And so he builds the first Iron Man suit. And that's when he figures out that terrorists are not just there for a way for him to make money by selling stuff to the American government to try to beat him, but they're a real deal and they are bad to the bone. And he takes it upon himself to fight for freedom. And that's his backstory. See, there is a process to becoming a hero. And that's kind of the most of what I want to talk about today. There's a process behind every hero. We don't just wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm a hero now. Tony Stark in the comics didn't just wake up as Iron Man. There were a series of events that led him to where he ended up being. So with all of us, like I said, there's a process, and what we do is when we look at examples in the Bible of biblical heroes, we look at people like Gideon. And I talk to our teenagers at youth camp about Gideon, and Gideon is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I call his little story the original 300, right? You guys know the story of the 300 Spartans and all that stuff. Well, Gideon defeated an army with 300 men too. And but see, when Gideon was called in Judges chapter 6, he wasn't a warrior. Gideon wasn't a warrior. Let me tell you who Gideon was. Gideon was, he tells the angel of the Lord, Gideon, first off, you got to get where Gideon was at. Gideon was in a wine press threshing wheat. He was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, doing something not meant to be done in that place. Because he was hiding from his enemies, because he was scared they were going to take his food. Does this sound like a hero to you? When the angel of the Lord appears to him, he looks at Gideon, and Gideon is hiding, and he's this little runt of a guy, and the angel of the Lord looks at him, and you know what the first thing he says is? He says, rise up, mighty warrior. He's not a mighty warrior, but he received a calling from a God that's bigger than he was. See, God sees your potential, not your present. God knows what you can be, not what you are. So when he looks to you, see, Pastor Gabriel talked about it just a minute ago. God steps out of time. We see time like this. God doesn't operate in time. So God already knows what Gideon's going to end up being. So he steps down and he says, my boy Gideon needs a boost. He says, Gideon, get up, mighty warrior. I know what you're going to be. Right now, you don't think you are. See, Gideon had gone through all this stuff. He was being fought. He told God that he was the least of the least family in his tribe. Now you got to understand what tribe he was from. There was one tribe in Israel that split into two tribes, the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh. All the other tribes are bigger than these two tribes. Traditionally, the tribe of Manasseh, which is Gideon's tribe, is the smaller of the two half tribes. So not only is Gideon the least in his family, his family is the least in his tribe, and he's from the tribe that is the least in Israel. What he's saying is he is the bottom of the low of the lowest of the low. And yet God found him where he was at and said, rise up, mighty warrior. See, he went through a process. We look at people like David. David was called. His dad didn't even go get him when Samuel came and said, I want to anoint one of your sons. God has laid it on my heart. God has told me and directed me to anoint you one of your sons as the king of Israel. So his father went and got all of his sons except David because he was the youngest. Nobody thought he could do anything. But yet when they brought him in, he was anointed as the king of Israel. And from that point forward, his life was crazy. He killed giants. He ran for his life. He had the current king throw a spear at his head. He was chased down. He was followed by outlaws. But finally, he became the king of Israel. And he is to this day the most celebrated king in the history of Israel. There's a process to becoming a hero. But see, that process brings barriers in our lives. And so I want to just talk about real quick three little barriers that we can come to in our lives that causes the process to stop, or the things that we've got to get over to become the hero that God wants us to be. And the first thing is this, that we sometimes get too busy in life. Amen? We live a life where we've got 8 billion things pulling our attention a billion different directions. Now, it's really tough to do all the things that you're called to do. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, nobody that enlists in an army gets tangled up in civilian affairs because they want to please their enlisting officer or their commanding officer. When God calls you, keep your focus where it's supposed to be. We all get tangled up. My wife read something on Pinterest the other day because she has that. I don't because I'm a man. Just playing. Any of you guys that have Pinterest? Anyway, Paul Perry. if you have Pinterest, I'll pray for you. But my wife was looking on Pinterest the other day, and she came across this little devotion thing, and it said that if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. The more stuff he can put on your plate that gets your focus off of what God has called you to be, off of the things that God has told you to do to be the hero that he's called you to be, that's the better for him. Because it gets your focus off of what God's called you to be. We can get too busy, and that's a huge barrier to being a hero. The second thing is this, we have low self-esteem issues in our culture. You know, there's so many people that deal with depression and deal with self-esteem issues that it's almost becoming an epidemic in our society, you know? It's just ridiculous how many people that I talk to that are struggling with thinking they're not good enough and overcoming thoughts of, well, you can't do that because you're you, you know? You know, people in the Bible dealt with that too. Look back at Gideon. We talked about Gideon just a minute ago. When God called Gideon, remember where he was. Gideon asked God over and over, are you sure? Do you know who I am? Are you talking to the right person? You must have thought Bob was going to be in here because I'm Gideon. He's a whole lot better than I am. Gideon had to get confirmation from God constantly that he was actually being called. It's hard for us to believe that anybody could find us useful a lot of times, much less the God of the universe, the creator, that spoke this earth into existence. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." God has a plan for you. You can't forget that. You can't forget that. God called you. Don't let your self-esteem fly in the face of that. If you weren't good enough, God wouldn't call you there. Remember that. So we had this problem with self-esteem. Look at Moses when he was called, the burning bush. I mean, dude is looking at the burning bush, the voice of God speaking out of a bush. And Moses has excuse after excuse after excuse. "I can't go back. God, you can't be calling me. God, I can't talk plainly." There's God gets frustrated with Moses after a while. There are people all through the Bible that have self-esteem issues that become the hero that God's called him to be. Gideon becomes one of the most well-known judges that Israel ever saw. Moses became Moses. We all know Moses and the exploits that he did with the Israelites. Don't let self-esteem issues cause you problems. The third thing is this. We try to do everything ourselves. That's one of the biggest barriers a lot of us have. Pastor Mike says all the time, and I will never forget this as long as I live, one of the biggest wrong things we say as pastors is that God will never put on you more than you can handle. That is completely false. God will always let you have more than you can handle. Because if you can handle it, you don't need him. If you can handle it, you don't need the church. You don't need your brothers and sisters fighting with you because you can handle it. Therefore, you will always have more on you than you can handle. So when you start feeling overwhelmed, it's time that you say, "God, I can't do this on my own. I knew it was going to get this way. It's time for you to take some of this off my shoulders. Give him some of your load and let him carry it. Give one of us some of your load and let us carry it. We will pray for you. We will walk with you. We will take you by the hand and get you where you need to be." See, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says that one can be defeated, but two fighting back to back can conquer, and a cord of three strands isn't easily broken. Even the Bible says you can't do this life alone. You can't. It's impossible. Guys, we are going to have struggles in this world like you would not believe. I want to read you something that Frederick Douglass said. Those of you that don't know who Frederick Douglass was, he lived a long time ago, back around Civil War times. He was an activist, and he said this. He said, "If there is no struggle, then there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both moral and physical, but it will be a struggle." You have been called. You cannot get progression out of your life. You can't get deeper into who God has called you to be without a struggle. You don't get better by never having to go through anything tough. I told Pastor Gabriel this morning, I heard a quote on TV last night, and we kind of joked around back and forth about whether I should tell you who made the quote. It wasn't anybody bad. Well, in the comic book world it was. Like I said, I'm a big Superman fan. I like the show Smallville. Call me a dork or not, I don't care. But we were watching it last night, and Lex Luthor on the show, he says this. And at this point, Lex Luthor is like still a good guy. So he says to Clark last night, he says, "The man of tomorrow is forged by the struggles of today." And I looked that up because I really didn't want to tell you that Lex Luthor said that. Yeah, it was him. There was no other deeper quote to that. But that's a great thought. The man of tomorrow is forged by the struggles of today. Who you're going to be all depends on how you deal with what you're going through right now. Are you going to let it beat you? Or are you going to keep going forward? Are you going to keep moving forward? Because if you do, you're going to be better for it. See, the thing is, guys, The suit changes everything. This is where we want to get to today. We struggle. We move forward. We go through these barriers. And to get through these barriers, God has given us something that's going to help us overcome things like low self-esteem. It's going to help us overcome things like getting our focus where it's supposed to be. It's going to help us overcome thinking we can do it on our own. And that thing that God gave us is the suit. It's the armor. The armor of God. We've probably all read it. If you've been around church for any length of time, you've probably heard it preached. You've probably heard it talked about. You've probably read it. But let me tell you something. The suit changes everything. See, we talked about Tony Stark and Iron Man. Tony Stark, he's just a regular old guy until he puts on the suit. You guys watch this video. The suit changes everything. You know, you're watching that scene and watching, it's Tony Stark. It's not Iron Man yet. He's Tony Stark. And Pepper and his driver there, they have the kit. It's this little case. And all he's wanting, give me the case. Give me the case. Because he knows if he doesn't put his armor on, Whiplash is going to kill him and everybody that he holds dear. He can't fight the battles that he knows he has to fight if he doesn't suit up. See, the suit changes everything. It's the same way in our Christian walk. When we don't suit up, when we don't put on our armor, and we try to go out and we face, you know, the whiplashes of our life, we're like Tony Stark in the beginning of that scene. And he's getting beat up, he's getting thrown around, he's having to dodge everything because he can't take a hit because he's just a normal guy. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. It says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let me tell you something right now. God has given you every piece of armor you could ever need to be successful as a hero to the Christian faith. Moses never woke up thinking that he was going to be a hero. Gideon never woke up thinking he was going to be a hero. David never woke up thinking he was going to be a hero until they became a hero. Get that. See, we have to think through what the armor is. Let me just show you a couple of things. The armor, if you read every piece of it, if you look at every piece of it, there's one piece that's an offensive weapon. One. Just one. The sword. We're going to talk about the sword next week. We're going to kind of leave that one out right this second. Because today I want you to get something. 99% of that armor is defensive in nature. God wants you to be able to take on the attacks of the devil, the attacks of the enemy, and still stand firm when it's over with. So you can have a sword all day long, but if you walk out there with just a t-shirt and some shorts on, you're going to get killed pretty quick. Even in today's day and time, we don't send our soldiers into battle without Kevlar vests and all this kind of stuff that protect them. You cannot fight unless you're defended. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we need to defend our faith at a moment's notice, but be able to do it with love. We have to be able to defend our faith. God has called us to defend our faith. If you watch football at all, you've probably heard the quote before: "The best offense is a great defense." If you can stop the attacks of the enemy, whether that's on a football field, on a baseball diamond, or in life, in a battle, in the spiritual realm, or in the physical realm, if you can stop the attacks, you're much more likely to be able to fight back. You've got to be able to defend yourself. So you know what? The thing that we have to remember about the armor of God is this. It does us no good if we leave it in a case. See, Tony had that armor. He had that suitcase. All he had to do was get Pepper to throw it to him. And then he could put it on. But if Tony said, "Nah, you know, I'm gonna take this guy on my own. I don't really need the suit. I've got it over there. Don't really need it, though. We're just going to leave it where it's at." It would not have ended up well. But yet we do that as Christians all the time. God has given us armor so that we can fight the battles. And yet we find ourselves sitting there going over our heads where you went wrong. And it's because you didn't put on the armor that was supplied to you when you enlisted in this army that we call the Christian faith. So we're going to talk about three parts of that armor today. And the first one is this. The Bible talks about the helmet of salvation. So what we have to figure out is how to put on the armor. Number one is this, the helmet of salvation. We have to guard our thoughts. Guard your mind. See, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. My dad used to say, and I'm sure he's not the originator, but my dad used to say all the time, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You know, and all that means is your thoughts are going to come in your head that don't need to be there. Whether that's thoughts of anger, whether that's thoughts of lust, whether that's thoughts of suicide, whether that's thoughts of whatever it is, the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to dwell on it? Or are you going to put on your helmet of salvation that says his mercies are new every morning? You roll out of that bed and you say, God, I'll put on my helmet of salvation today. You've saved me. I've been bought with a price. I know who I am in Christ because you have saved me. So I don't have to dwell on lustful thoughts. I don't have to dwell on suicidal thoughts. I don't have to dwell on angry thoughts. Because when you make a decision, every single morning when you roll out of that bed, I am saved, I am blood bought, then your whole outlook starts to change. And when those thoughts start coming into your head, replace it with a thought from the Word. When those thoughts start coming into your head again, it's time that you start going, no, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I don't need to dwell on that. I don't have to do that anymore. You know, the problem is we think so many times when we think about salvation, God, there's no way that you love me enough that you would give your son for me. That's something a lot of people struggle with, that the God of the universe would send his son to die on a cross for any of us. Can I tell you something right now? You don't deserve it. But can I be completely honest with you? It doesn't matter whether you deserve it or not. God loves you just like you are and wants you to come to him and make a decision to follow him with everything that you've got. See, the Bible says, and I don't want to misquote this, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love towards us. Listen to this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wrap your mind around that for a second. While we were still sinners, you know what? Not even a promise that we were going to become Christians. While we were still sinners, while you still didn't love Jesus, while you still had doubts in your heart about who he is and about his love for you, while you were still in that place, he died to give you the opportunity to spend eternity with him because he loves you that much. And he says, you are worth it. The helmet of salvation has to be put on every single day. And you do that by guarding the thought processes that come into your mind. The second thing we're going to talk about is this, that we need to guard our hearts. I love the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says the body armor of righteousness. This is the most important part because it protects one thing. The heart. It protects the heart. The heart is the middle of the being. The heart is the center of who we are. You know, this has to do with our state of being. It has to do with how we live our life. Who we choose to be is where our heart is. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard the heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. In other words, everything comes out of the heart. Everything, who you are, comes out of the heart. We ask Jesus where? We ask him into our hearts. Because that heart, that's the center of our being. That's the center of who we are. So we protect it. We guard our hearts. We don't let things enter our lives that are going to cause us to live lives that are less than what we are called to be. We start becoming depressive. Then we start remembering that God did not call us to be depressive. We start living a life of laziness. And we start remembering, God didn't call me to be lazy. Pastor Gabriel spoke to the staff and to our worship team this morning and shared a lot about just two different things, and that is effort and energy. We have to put effort in everything that we do. See, effort alone isn't enough. We got to put the energy behind the effort or it doesn't work. And so we talk about that, and the Bible says that a lazy man, if he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. I like to eat. So I guard my heart against laziness. So anyway, so the breastplate of righteousness, the body armor of righteousness is so important that we put on that helmet, we put on that body armor every single day, and we do that by waking up again and saying, God, change me from the inside out. Change me from the inside out. Make my heart new. Make me new again. The last thing is this. We have to learn to trust. Because if we don't learn to trust what God says, it's all for nothing. God gave us one thing. It's called the shield of faith. Do you know that how well you fight is directly tied to your faith? Do you know that how well you overcome is directly tied to your faith? Go to Isaiah chapter 7 with me for just a second. Kim, don't put those up on the screen yet. I want to set up the story just for a minute. This is the story of King Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah is the prophet at the time. Ahaz is the king of Judah. All right, at this time, Israel is split into two nations, the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah. And somebody comes to Ahaz, and he says, King Ahaz, all of Israel, you can put 7:2 up here. It says, all of Israel and all of Syria have aligned themselves against Judah. And the Bible says, so the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. Now think about that. It's not the people. Even the one leading the people is scared to death. He looks out and all he sees is armies. All he sees is two nations that are coming together to destroy his one small nation. But then Isaiah the prophet steps in. And he says, no, 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 no. King, calm down. Stop your knees from shaking. Stop going crazy. Calm down. Because these guys aren't even going to get to a place where they can attack you. You're okay. You have nothing to worry about. God is on your side. And then he ties it all up with the second half of verse 9. Put that up there for me. He says, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Okay, now wait. Unless your faith is firm, this is God talking. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to listen to this, starting in verse 10 again. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to what? To stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be what? Standing firm. Verse 14 says, stand your ground. Now let's go back to Isaiah. What does it say? Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. This tells us two things. Number one, we better have faith that God's going to do what he told us he's going to do. And number two, we don't make ourselves stand firm. God does. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. So you better know what you believe. How do you do that? You get in this word. You spend time with him. And we're going to talk about this word some more next week. We're going to get into the rest of the armor. We're going to talk about the offensive weapons that God has given us. But you know what? God has called us to protect our hearts. He's called us to protect our minds. He's called us to have faith that what he tells us is going to happen. We give up way too easily. Way too easily. When God says, if you will just hold on, if you'll just hold on, when it's all said and done, you're still going to be standing. But see, there's a lot of things that we come to and we say, oh, it's great, Pastor Shane, that there's armor we can put on. It's great that there's stuff that's been supplied to us by God himself so that we can become the hero that God's called us to be. It's great that there's a suit. I love that the suit changes everything. But let me tell you something. You don't get the suit until you enlist in the army. So there's a lot of things that you're going through, man. You say, my thought process is all whacked out, man. I can't get my mind right, or my heart is just in the wrong place. I'm doing things for a selfish reason, and maybe you're living a depressive life, maybe you're living a lazy life or something like that, or you just have no faith in anyone or anything anymore, that anything's going to work out for you, for your family. Let me tell you something. Every bit of that starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want all that stuff to change? It's not going to change until you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ that changes everything from the inside out. You want to protect that heart? Give it to Jesus. You want to change that thought process? Give your mind to Jesus today. You want to get faith in somebody other than you, somebody bigger than who you are? Give your faith to Jesus today and watch what he does for you. God wants to do something in your life today. God supplies you with a way to overcome the problems in this life that you deal with, to overcome the barriers that you're going through in the process of becoming the hero that God has called you to be. Every one of us in here have a backstory. Every one of us in here came from something. We've all got junk in our past. Maybe some of us have other things or more junk in our past than others, but at the same time, it doesn't matter in the eyes of God. What you come from makes you who you are. Where you were shapes your tomorrow. The question is, what are you going to do with it? See, God can take that where you were. It can take that where you, he can take that where you come from and make it, change it and shape it into making you a better person for it, where you can help people. You got some awful stuff in your past, you know, and I'm thinking in my head, there's people that are like, man, I was abused in my past. Maybe you were an abuser in your past. Maybe you were hooked on drugs. Maybe you were an alcoholic. Maybe you went through all this stuff. You have this awful past, and now this preacher's up here telling you that your past defines you. Let me tell you something. Your past shapes your future. If you were an abuser, let God change your heart so that you can help other people never to be that. If you were abused, let God wrap his arms around you so that you can help other people that were abused. If you were an addict, God can take that and the things that you learned and the struggles that you went through, and he can plug you into a place where you can help people. God has called you to be a hero. Why do you think you're still sitting here today and not lying dead in an alley somewhere? God's hand was on you before you knew his name. The Bible says, when I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I mentioned Jeremiah 29:11 earlier. It says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God keeps his hand on you. So that when you come to a place when you receive him and you start putting that armor on, then you're ready to go back into the battle and make a difference. Bow your heads with me today.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.